Hey, college football fans, Joel Klatt here. And over on my podcast, The Joel Klatt Show, we discuss the best teams, players, and storylines in all of college football. Any questions? Then send them in to the Joel Klatt Show mailbag, and I'll answer them. Tap the banner to follow The Joel Klatt Show on Spotify.
First things first, I'm Jenna Wolf. That's the Hall of Famer Chris Carter. This is Nick Wright. Fun show today. Your guy, our guy, Troy Vincent, is going to be stopping by. We'll find out what's happening in the league. Bart Scott, always a good time. Wears nice shoes. So that's going to be fun. A couple headlines today. Freddie Kitchens is trying to tighten up the ship in Cleveland. Wait till you hear how. Drew Brees says he's as good as ever. Wait till you hear why. And Tom Brady's contract isn't exactly what it appears to be. That's where we kick things off on this Tuesday morning. So over the weekend, Brady reportedly got a two-year, $70 million extension. Sounds great. $35 million a year for 2 years, seemingly, right? Well, fast forward to Monday when more details about the contract were released. It turns out Brady will actually be a free agent after this season because the 2 years void after the 2019 season. Here's what Tom Brady had to say about his future.
It's really the reality for most guys in the NFL. You know, I don't want to think that I'm any different than everyone else. Like, it's football's a tough business. It's a production business. And, you know, I'm ready to go this year. And that's really what matters. And that's where my focus is. It's a unique situation I'm in. You know, I'm 20th year with the same team and, you know, be 42 years old. So pretty much uncharted territory, I think, for everybody. And, you know, I'm going to go out there and do the best I can this year and see what happens. It is what it is. That's a good line. So whoever said it, it's very pertinent. So, like I said, there's a lot of guys who have, you know, 1 year left on their contract. You know, so the situation, I got 1 year to go and we'll see what happens.
All right, so once again, after this season ends, Brady could become an unrestricted free agent for the first time in his career. So, CeCe, what does that tell you about the future of Brady and the Patriots?
The Patriots have decided they're going to go year to year. They're going to allow Tom Brady to be somewhat in control, but not completely in control. And when Robert Kraft and his family decided to give Bill Belichick ultimate control over the roster, this is the way Brady's career is going to end. We know the Jimmy Garoppolo. We know the pressure on Jimmy Garoppolo. Like, that was real. They don't have Jimmy Garoppolo, but now they do have age, father time. He's undefeated, and Belichick realizes that. Now, the last couple seasons, you see that he's made adjustments. Last year, tried to put the bonus package in there where he could earn more money. Huh. Didn't play well enough to be able to get that money. So you know what they decided to do now? Because Tom wanted a contract extension. They gave him a fake one, gave him more money this year, guaranteed him he'd be there this year, and they're going to play it out year by year. Regardless how many times Tom wants to go to the press conference and say, I want to play till I'm 45. You see, he changed his tune yesterday.
Yeah.
Because Belichick did not give him the type of contract that him or his agent wanted. He told him, I will bump you up this year. And you know what, Tom? You're just like everyone else. We're going to wait and see as far as what we're going to do as far as moving into the future.
That is absolutely right and honestly absolutely remarkable to me. That Chris could say, Belichick said to Tom Brady, you are just like everyone else. And that is clearly what Bill Belichick has done. And maybe that is part of what makes Bill Belichick the greatest football coach we've ever seen, but it is stunning to me. Because here's what we know. None of these things are speculation. None of these things are hypothesis. We know this. We know Brady wants to play past this season. We know Brady wants to play for the Patriots for the entirety of his career if he can have it his way. And we know Brady has never demanded top of the market money. We know all of those things. And so it then follows to reason that Tom Brady, what he wanted was a real contract extension, not a break the bank contract extension, but a real contract extension with some guarantees past this year. And the Patriots, meaning Bill Belichick, flatly refused to give it to him. And so I want people to understand, this is not they have a team option for 2020. No, this is not a contract extension, what he got over the weekend. It was cap manipulation, which is totally legal. A lot of teams do it. But they free up $5.5 million in cap space. He gets $8 million cash infusion. And the final 2 years of this deal automatically void on the final day of the league year. So unless they do another new contract this year, Tom Brady will be an unrestricted free agent for the first time in his entire career after this season. And that is, considering his last 3 years were execute greatest comeback in Super Bowl history en route to a title, 16, win league MVP, 17, win another Super Bowl, 18, that is his contract situation in 19 is unprecedented in my time following sports.
It's also remarkable in that they don't have a clear-cut backup plan. You could see if they had a guy they've been grooming like a Teddy Bridgewater or maybe even a Josh Rosen that, okay, they want to go year to year while they get someone up to speed. Right now they have Brian Hoyer and Stidham who they drafted. Stidham. But what do you think is more likely, CeCe, that he does become an unrestricted free agent and he goes to play for another team or that he walks away from the game if the Patriots decide they don't want to bring him back?
No, I think there's zero chance that he goes to another team. I think the Patriots do want to bring him back. What the Patriots are going to try to do, from a running standpoint, physical standpoint, they're going to lean on their defense and their offensive line as Tom continues to age and as he retires. You can see last year, they believe they can improve drastically. Talking to people around New England, they believe their defense will be drastically improved. They had a losing record last year on the road. They were 3-5. They gave up more than a touchdown on the road than they did at home. So as they build this team, it's going to be based on physicality. It's not going to be based on Tom Brady throwing the ball. It's going to be Tom Brady being efficient on third, being efficient, not turning the ball over, and being really good late in close games because, you know, the Patriots always play. They're going to play you tough. So they believe they can improve on it. How they go forward is exactly like they did week 16 through the Super Bowl where they averaged 38 times a game. They ran the ball 180 yards. That's what they are building. This is not going to be Tom Brady and the high-flying Patriots. I don't believe he becomes a free agent. And I believe if he has another successful season and he's healthy, they sign him to another one-year deal. At the end of Michael Jordan's career, Michael Jordan signed a one-year deal because he had some problems because they weren't going to extend him and they weren't going to commit the dollars to the rest of that roster. So at the end, when Michael Jordan was in Chicago, it became a year by year. But I think with all the quarterbacks, if you look at Phillip Rivers, you look at Drew Brees, them quarterbacks are they're not the same as Brady, but they're all going to be put in the same situation.
The one difference I would see between Jordan's end of his career and Brady's was Jordan, his final 2 years of his career, made $32 and $33 million respectively in an era when almost no one in the NBA was making even $12 million. So it was a series of one-year deals, but they were double or triple the market one-year deals.
What is Tom Brady making?
Tom Brady now is up to $23 million this year with the $8 million raise from 15. The last thing I'll say on this is I thought his response at the end there was very telling. He was asked by a reporter that I think maybe didn't have the full details of the contract, is it some relief to have clarity on your contract situation? I mean, you didn't see it in the clip, but he took a long pause and then says, it is what it is, which is whose line, of course, Bill Belichick's, and said, listen, I've got 1 year left. There's a lot of things he could have said there to hide his frustration. Oh, yeah, it's great, excited, you know, glad we got this done, got a little raise this year. He made it very clear to me that this was not the contract result he was hoping for. It won't distract him. I'm sure they'll be great. Maybe they'll use this money to add to the roster, the cap space. But this was not the way Don Yee and Tom Brady thought this contract negotiation was going
and
to
go. And just
for
perspective, what is he making, $23, $24 million this year?
$23 million.
And what does Dak Prescott want?
What, we think
upwards
probably
of
30-ish million.
Yeah, he's going to get it.
Yeah.
Crazy. All right, we'll talk a lot more about this coming up. On the other side, though, Drew Brees thinks this could be his best season yet. We'll tell you why. We're asking next on FS1. You can always check us out on the Fox Sports channel on SiriusXM. We'll be right back.
Hey, college football fans, Joel Klatt here. And over on my podcast, The Joel Klatt Show, we discuss the best teams, players, and storylines in all of college football. Any questions? Then send them in to the Joel Klatt Show mailbag, and I'll answer them. Tap the banner to follow The Joel Klatt Show on Spotify.
Welcome back. We'll talk some Drew Brees in a second, but first, Nationals, Giants, Kurt Suzuki hitting the line drive to left center. Oh. Kevin Pillar laying out to make a great catch.
And I wonder if he's going to be a Gold Glover this year. I feel like he's been in butt first a bunch, covering a ton of ground in center field for the Giants. That's a heck of a play, man.
All right, moving on. This is the Atlanta Entertainment Basketball League. This is high school class of 2020. This and this is shooting guard Jimmy Gatwich picking up Cook's pockets before hitting the 360.
This kid, he's got a highlight reel in high school like Zion, just without the enormous bulk and weight to him. He keeps inventing dunks in games. We saw him do the beneath both legs dunk a couple weeks ago. See, that was this kid.
This was what, the 360 between the legs? This
reverse.
I thought last week that was the best in-game dunk we've seen. He did that with so much ease.
Ease.
Comes around playing some defense, picks the guy's pocket. Yeah. I like that.
All right, Cowboys practice. This is for you, CC. Jason Witten.
How did this
reaching
make
reaching back to complete the one-handed grab.
That ain't one hand. He brought the other hand in there.
How did this make the show? This is rude to Jason Witten. This is rude to him that we say this is an amazing highlight. This is like showing the 100-year-olds who run the 100-meter in a minute 40.
Don't be shading on Jason Witten like that.
One of the problems Cowboys had was red zone. So right here, that's a touchdown in the red zone, Bill, to help them out. Oh. If he can do that during the regular season.
There you go, see?
Yeah.
Way to put some shine on it.
All right, let's talk about the Saints.
Shine on his bald head. Has he got hair now?
I don't know.
Despite heartbreaking losses to end their last two seasons, the Saints are still tied with the Patriots and the Rams for the NFL's best record during that span. This year, a resilient Drew Brees will be playing his 19th season and said, quote, I think I have the ability to be as good as I have ever been. Chris, how has Drew Brees been able to just be as good at this age?
Let's just remove the name.
Okay.
Why is Tom Brady so effective this late in his career? Why is Ben Roethlisberger so effective late in his career, over 5,000 yards? Phillip Rivers. Number one, the game's easier. The game's easier to play. You can't put the physical pounding on the quarterback that you used to be able to, so they've protected the quarterback more. The rules, as far as pass interference, illegal contact, all those things, they lead to the quarterback. The no huddle, having the mic in your helmet, that gives the quarterback a huge amount of information pre-snap. So right now, everything is led to the quarterback being very, very successful. When you can't hit them, they know you can't hit them. You can't hit them high. The quarterbacks can sit in the pocket, become more comfortable. I would say at this point, 2019, more quarterbacks are trying to play longer. And you understand the game. The game starts to slow down. It's just as if you have the answers to the test. Tom Brady said that a couple of years ago in an interview. Drew Brees said that in an interview recently. So you know. Ben Roethlisberger, he continues to play at a high level. The game's a lot easier. The requirements in the offseason are not as strenuous. There's less time on the field. But for the quarterbacks, this NFL game is the friendliest that it's ever been. So Drew Brees takes care of his body. He loves playing the game. He's been in the same system for a long time there with Sean Payton. So you can see he feels like this will be his best season the way last season was, which he played, especially for the first 12 weeks, at an incredible high level.
And so that's in kind of the general reason that a lot of quarterbacks are playing so much longer than we'd expected at a higher level than we would have expected. For Drew Brees specifically, I thought an article we were talking about this morning by Albert Breer in the MMQB was really insightful about famed quarterback coach, or is it even mechanics coach? I don't know what his title is. Tom House.
Let's just say throwing coach, because he works with baseball pitchers.
Okay, throwing coach, that he will talk with Drew Brees regularly, and if he misses a pass, he will quiz Drew about what did you do wrong there. And it's about, you know, elbow in, elbow out, the different types
mechanics.
Of different mechanical issues that he could be having. And I find it really fascinating that even at this age, this season, to see these guys, Tom's doing it, Drew's doing it. You said before the show, Peyton almost got it started doing it.
Yeah, if you would equate every quarterback to a golfer, then you wouldn't be surprised.
You're totally right, because golfers are always reworking.
Analyze every swing.
Every swing, for no matter how long they play. It's a really good analogy that I had never thought of until you just mentioned it. That because I, maybe in my head, and I think a lot of people's head, you think that once you get, unless you're reworking your throwing motion like Cam Newton, once you have a throwing motion as good as Drew Brees's, what you always talk about, over the top, where it, his height doesn't hurt him, that it's just a repeatable motion, and that if he has one get away from him, he knows instantly what it is, just get back to it. But working with someone on a day-to-day basis, trying to either improve, tweak, whatever, I'm certain that has contributed. It's almost a different version of sports science to his success, because he's not the athlete he once was, not that he was ever a superstar athlete. I'm sure he doesn't have quite the arm strength he once did, not that he ever had the strongest arm in the
league. I would be careful.
You disagree with that?
Working with Coach House and a number of other guys, Tom Brady, we saw this summer,
yep,
he measured his ball velocity. It was faster than when he came in. So, yes, these guys, Drew Brees, his arm is as strong or stronger than it was at Purdue. And we're starting to see minor gains, but doing it for a long period of time. So even if it's a minor gain, but I've been doing it for 15 right. years, it adds a lot to a quarterback.
And then when you add the mechanics to his accuracy, to his ability to see the field, to his decision making, a lot of that comes, like you said, with being in the league a long time, with knowing what defenses are going to give you. But do you think that the team that's surrounding him right now could be the best team he's had in his career right now?
I think they have a chance to be special. Excuse me. They have, over the last 10 years, they've had a number of offenses that would go down NFL history, yep, special offenses. And Drew Brees has put together, like Peyton Manning, some of the most historic seasons. But I do believe, because of the lack in the last 2 years of tight end productivity. So they go out and get Jared Cook in free agency. Last 2 years, Saints tight ends have been one of the least productive we've seen in the NFL. Second fewest targets, only 150 in 2 years. We're talking about Drew Brees now. So they basically playing with three receivers. The tight end has only been a blocker. Their tight ends are the fifth fewest receptions, only 108 receptions over the last 2 years, and fourth fewest yards in 1,200, a little more than 1,200 yards. So you add Jared Cook to a Michael Thomas, who I feel very comfortable with, Alvin Kamara coming out of the backfield, playing more first and second down compared to just being a third down back. And I believe something you're going to see in the NFL, and I believe the Saints are going to be one of the teams guilty of it. Around the NFL, teams are not trying to play the fullback more. We saw New England get back to a fullback-centric offense. We're going to see not the fullback, but you're going to see more two tight ends in this NFL season. The Saints and Sean Payton, you can see them with Jared Cook and a number of other tight ends they have on the roster. So for me, that would be a vast improvement. Help them to be more physical at the point of attack and get those wide receivers, get those tight ends out in routes.
You asked if this is could be the best team he's been on. The best team he's ever been on is the one that won the Super Bowl. I'm not saying that just because they won the Super Bowl. That was the number one offense, and this is really surprising for the Saints, a number four defense. Yep. They had an extraordinary players on both sides of the ball. Remember, a young Malcolm Jenkins, mm-hmm, who's now with Philadelphia, was one of the safeties on the team. They had really good talent on both sides. When they missed the playoffs 4 out of 5 years, going 7-9 every single year, each of those 4 years, the 7-9 years from 2012, 2016, they had either the worst or second worst ranked defense in football. The last couple years, when they have had tied for the second most wins or tied for the most wins in the NFL, they've had a league average defense to go along with, as Chris said, always a great offense with Drew Brees, even though the offense changed a bit with Ingram and Kamara being a more run-centric offense. I do think this Saints team has an argument that it is the most complete team in the NFL. And we have seen in that dome with that coach and that quarterback, if they have a top 15 defense, they're in the game for a Super Bowl. If they have a top 10 defense, they can become Super Bowl favorites. If they get enough pass rushers off the edge, they've spent a big investment on their secondary as far as being able to play nickel, having three competent, mm-hmm, corners. Pass rushers plus that corner play, if they can force some turnovers and play well in a very tough division, I trust the offense as much as any offense in the NFC.
All right, you mentioned the defense. You mentioned the tight ends. No one's worried about Ingram not being there? Is no one factoring that in?
I think think that's the reason why, from a formation standpoint, Kamara carried the ball a lot more, more touches, 74 more touches in year number two. That progression, he's always been a specialty back. He's a little undersized, slightly built. I don't want to see him carry the ball 300 times. So I believe also Latavius Murray comes over as a free agent, a big back from Minnesota, should be able to assume some of that pounding. So watch how many times he touches the ball. Can he be as efficient as an undersized running back when you bump up those touches? But I believe from a scheme standpoint, they're going to try to duplicate what they did the first 11 weeks of the season. Drew Brees, first 11 weeks, best QBR in the NFL, struggled from week 12 through the playoffs. He was around middle of the pack, I think around 12th ranked quarterback. So trying to continue what they got off to a blazing start last season.
All right, let's take a break. Coming up, talk some Cowboys. How will Zeke's holdout impact Dak Prescott on the field? That's next on First Things First. On Saturday, it's a doubleheader on FS1. First, Bryce Harper powers the Phillies against the Giants. Then Nolan Arenado and the Rockies take on Manny Machado and the Padres. It almost rhymes. Coverage begins at 3 Eastern, noon Pacific on FS1 and the Fox Sports app. Time now for us to go viral. All right, so check out Chiefs all-pro receiver Tyreek Hill getting in some drill work with wide receivers coach Keith Williams. So you're familiar with this. What is Tyreek working specifically on here?
Yeah, this is the box drill right here. And one reason why I didn't think Tyreek Hill and the reason why speed guys aren't really good at wide receiver is because they can run fast, but they don't know how to stop. So what he's training them is how to make him stop and how does he accelerate in and out of the break. Watch his head placement. He wants to keep his head on the defender and just running the top of the route. You can't run an NFL wide receiver and run these types of routes over and over again. So they take away the pounding on the body and they have you run in 5-yard increments so you can work on it. The wide receiver coach is watching. They got video on it. These are all eyeballs to correct your technique, but they allow you to burst in and out of your break. So when the coach says run in and out of your break, that's what he's trying to assimilate right there, trying to control his speed. So when he gets to his mark, he wants to put his foot in the ground and accelerate in and out of the break. That's the way you're able to train yourself.
All right, that was incredibly informative, but I feel like you left out a very important part. That drill, that specific drill he was doing, was invented by who?
By me, box drill.
Prior to Chris Carter, that drill did not exist.
I did that drill right there.
Do you get a royalty from it?
No. I did that drill right there for Nick Saban and sent him a video. He offered me a job to coach his wide receivers.
Had to move to Tuscaloosa.
Don't you feel like if you invented a drill,
I would have led with
you
it.
You would have led with it.
Chris, he always surprises me, man. Don't know.
A number of coaches taught me two or three parts of it. I put it all together.
You put it together that, like a good inventor. You Bravo. Take different see, things see, from Bravo. Other people, make it your own.
Hey. All right, here we go. Stories to start your morning. Yesterday, NBA.com released an all-decade team voted on by a panel, of which Nick was not on.
I don't work for NBA.com.
Okay. I'm just saying you wish you were on the panel. You're not on the panel.
Okay.
The first team was, am I right? LeBron,
confirmed.
KD, Steph, Harden, and Kawhi. Did they get this right, Nick?
I want to give them credit. They did absolutely get this right. There were four no-brainers. LeBron, KD, Steph, and Harden, no doubt about it.
Yes.
The one other front court spot, when I saw Kawhi, my immediate reaction was, is that a little recency bias? Came into the league mid-decade, doesn't have enormous statistical resume. But the other people he's up against would be Melo, Blake Griffin, and Anthony Davis. Kawhi is the best individual success of those guys, two defensive player of the years and the finals MVP and team success. So I do think they got the first team right. I got some issues with second and third team. We don't have to get into that. They got the first team right, though. It's a good list.
Yeah, they had to get Kawhi on there. He had to be on the first team, especially the run that he went on. If you look at before the injury and look at his playoff averages, Hey, man, my man Dusty got me hip to that one. He's been doing it for long enough, especially he deserved it.
All right, moving on to the Jets now. New head coach Adam Gase said that Sam Darnold was one of the biggest reasons he decided to take the job. Gase says Darnold is, quote, not the kind of quarterback you're looking to protect. You're looking to turn him loose. See, what does Darnold need to do to improve in year number two now?
Well, first, Adam Gase, stop lying. The reason why you took the job, because they offered it to you.
All right. You just got fired in Miami.
Yeah, it's not
whatever
like
train was coming through, you were jumping off.
You and Greg Williams. Oh, I got 20 people calling right now. I told them, no. Right. Don't want to be a head coach. I want to be a coordinator. Yes, Sam Darnold. I like the fact that he was really honest, because offensive coordinator head coaches, When you don't have a thrower of the football, you have to try to manufacture. And they tell every lie. They tell a bunch of stuff. Sam Darnold is the truth. He is going to be a star. Put some wideouts around him. They got L. Bell back there. This should be a perfect combination. Adam Gase, Sam Darnold, looking forward to it.
I don't know if what Gase is saying is going to prove out to be correct, that Darnold's going to be the quarterback he's talking about. But if you're a Jets fan, you love hearing this, because the last thing you want to hear when you spend a top three pick on a quarterback is, well, we don't want to ask him to do too much. We're going to lean on Le'Veon Bell. No, you drafted this guy to be the face of your team and eventually the best player on your team. Gase seems to have the faith he could be that sooner than later.
All right, last season, Panthers running back Christian McCaffrey was on the field for 91% of Carolina's offensive snaps. That was by far the highest percentage in the league. Now the team wants to reduce the amount of time he's on the field, but not reduce his touches. So, see, how important is McCaffrey to the Panthers' success this season?
But outside of Cam Newton and Ron Rivera, he's the most important in the whole organization. I believe he set it as a goal last season, came up a little short, wants 1,000 yards rushing, 1,000 yards receiving. Man, there's only been two other people to be able to do it. I believe he's going to be the next guy to do it. You don't have to be on the field more. What they're basically telling you is, when he's on the field,
he's touching the ball.
He's getting the football.
Right.
He's not going to be out there running no decoy stuff.
And not going to be out there asking him to block as much, which it helps some of the wear and tear on his body as well. So I think this is smart. I think he would have gotten the 1,000, I think, last year if Cam didn't get hurt, which hurt his passing yards and obviously.
One thing to watch out for, because they're going to limit the number of plays, watch defenses start to cue in. When he's in the game and it's a passing situation, let's blitz him, make him stay in so they can't throw to him, which keeps his reps down.
All right, on to the Cowboys now, and a quick geography check. The team is in Oxnard, California, training for the season. Ezekiel Elliott is still in Cabo, Mexico, waiting for a new contract. And quarterback Dak Prescott, who himself is waiting for a new deal, is still being asked about it all. Here's what he had to say about Zeke not being at training camp.
I said I talked to him often, so.
Well, I think this week, though. I mean,
I'm just messing with you. But, I have. I mean, I've talked to him. We've communicated. And as I said, I mean, obviously we miss the player that he is, but I know that he's getting better. I know that he's working on his game. He's in shape. He's going to make sure that he comes back. And when he's back on his team, he's a better player than when he than before camp or before the spring. And then, he's a good friend. Obviously, you want him out here, but that's business. Yeah, friendship is friendship and business is business. You don't cross those.
Listen, that's what you want to hear from your quarterback. It's not what we heard from Ben Roethlisberger last year when Le'Veon Bell was holding out, and he was saying, we'll deal with who we have here, meaning James Conner. So you like what you hear from Dak Prescott, but if Ezekiel Elliott continues to hold out, how does that affect Dak Prescott's ceiling, what he's able to do for this team?
I mean, Ezekiel Elliott's the best player on the team, and Dak, as much as he's trying to, the friendship gets mixed in with the business because it's impossible. You know the reason why? We only got one pie. And our friendship is based on that pie playing with the Dallas Cowboys. And if Zeke tries to if he resets the market as far as running backs, it's not going to affect Dak, but it's going to affect the ability for the Cowboys to put other players as they move forward. So it becomes impossible. Like, I'm going to call Zeke and ask him, Zeke, how are your workouts going? Because I'm sure that they're talking. He alluded to that they're talking. How your contract talks going? So he's going to avoid that because Dak's $30 million, $28 million, whatever he comes in at. Like, I mean,
tied into what Dak is going to eventually
get. As much as you like to be a leader and everything, if they don't get your money right, how are you going to lead the team? When they drafted Randy Moss, Dennis Green called me.
It's a great story.
Hey, man, this kid, we're going to take him, Chris. I know you're going to take care of him. I said, yeah. As soon as we got off the phone, as soon as they pulled that number, Randy Moss, I called the general manager, told him I wasn't coming to Minnesota unless I got some money. Unless I got a four-year deal, I was in year number 12, I think, then. I said, I want a four-year deal. I want to end my career because you guys have officially drafted my replacement.
Put me on the clock.
So I know how much money he's going to be making as a first-round pick. That's not getting ready to happen. Randy and I were great friends. The business, we got the business and everything done so the friendship could thrive and flourish.
Would there have been no friendship if that deal didn't get done, if the GM said no?
Well, you wouldn't have invited
me. I'm not going to extend myself, but so far.
Right.
Okay.
The reason why I take very few days off here, I'm not going to help someone assist them in their broadcasting career, then Fox come and hire them and take my spot. I'll be damned. No, if you want to get some reps, go somewhere else
don't
and get
Wally
them. Yeah, you're not going to be, no, not going to happen to me. The business and the friendship, you have to make them work because they will coexist.
And the, to fill in some blanks here, because I love this story, and you know I've talked about it, as soon as the contract got worked out, then Chris called Randy, come down to Florida, we'll work out together. It wasn't so much as that Chris maybe would have just not shown up in Minnesota, but certainly wouldn't have gone that extra mile, certainly wouldn't have done the things that Randy needed as a young player out of Marshall who had some growing up to do, I think is very fair, as almost everyone does at that age, maybe Randy in particular, and some just learning about the NFL.
Yeah, even if he had been Larry Fitzgerald, it wouldn't have mattered.
He still needed it. It would still need it.
Business is business.
You mean as far as right, because Larry's someone you'd known since he was a child.
Yes.
If they'd have drafted him. As far as on Dak and Zeke, to bring it back, I mean, what was Dak without Amari, and what was he with Amari? Zeke is better. Zeke is, more to me, more important to Dak than Amari. Even though Amari's the guy he's throwing to, if Zeke's not there, guess what? Amari's doubled, and you're not throwing to him that much anymore either. Guess what? All those beneficial fronts, that even those fronts you couldn't always take advantage of if you're Dak, those are gone. And now all of a sudden they are dropping extra guys into coverage. They have someone pretending to blitz who's actually going to drop back and try to trick you. So much of Dak is in a place in his career, and I don't want to act like he will always be here, but he is right now, where he needs a really stable and really advantageous 10 guys around him in order for him to be anywhere close to a force multiplier. If you remove the most important piece, if you remove the piece that defenses worry about the 5 days leading up to a game, mm-hmm. it impacts him more than anybody, more than the offensive lineman, more than Amari, more than anybody. So, yeah, listen, Dak's in a weird spot because he wants his money.
Sure.
But he needs Zeke. And what he doesn't want, I'll tell you what Dak doesn't want, is for his deal not to get done, his being Dax, and Zeke not to show up, and the Cowboys to see 4 or 5 games of Dak without Zeke until he has his money locked in. That'll cost Dak a hell of a lot more money than Zeke getting a few extra million dollars and cutting into that salary cap pot.
It's getting complicated. By now, you've heard the hype surrounding the Cleveland Browns. How could you not? New coach, great player, sky-high optimism for the first time in years. Well, yesterday, first-year head coach Freddie Kitchens gave us a glimpse into how the show will be run moving forward.
The days of inside information and the days of unnamed sources and stuff like that have ended. So you're not going to get any information like that ever, anybody. And if I ever see it, they're fired immediately. That's the way we're running this organization. And I can take it. John Dorsey can take it. We won't crack, I promise you.
We should give just a little context to what he was. He was referring to Bob Wiley,
the former O-line coach. You guys probably saw in Hard Knocks, kind of the comedic relief of last year's Hard Knocks. Mm-hmm. He had said some things that Kitchens shouldn't have gotten the job. Essentially, it should have gone to Greg Williams. And Freddie Kitchens seemed. He said, "I don't want to say anything bad about Bob. He's recovering from ankle and knee surgery." And then he crushed him.
Crushed him.
I mean, he went after him pretty hard. And it was to me, this was Freddie Kitchens' first young coach mistake. I think Freddie Kitchens responding to it, giving life to it, and getting that riled up about what Bob Wiley had to say, I think that's something maybe you'd want back, maybe you wouldn't, but I don't think a veteran coach would have fallen into that trap. A guy who used to work there.
I mean, Belichick would have definitely fallen for that.
Oh, yeah.
And
it's not fair to compare him to Belichick, but I think a lot of coaches would have just said, hey, Bob did a great time here. We decided to move in a different direction. We're worried about the Cleveland Browns.
But the truth is, listen, this is part of being a new head coach. There's a lot of hype. There are a lot of expectations for this team. You got a hotshot quarterback. You can have a ton of media. How hard is it going to be for this team to live up to all the hype that's surrounding coming into this season?
This is the thing in the NFL. If you're talented, the hype, what is it? I mean, because if you're talented, you're just talking about the talent there. Hype is something you're trying to push, something that maybe necessarily people can't see. So to me, the conversation about Cleveland, it's not hype. They're one of the most talented rosters that we have in the NFL. They have one of the bright, up-and-coming quarterbacks, personalities in Baker Mayfield. They have one of the electric wide receivers that we've seen in the NFL the last 5 years in OBJ. Last year, we saw Baker Mayfield quarterback them to 6 wins. After winning one game the 2 previous seasons, that's not hype. That's talent. So Freddie Kitchen, I can understand. If it was a veteran coach and he said the same thing, we would turn it some different. Everything Freddie Kitchen said, we're going to make the excuse that, oh, because he's a rookie coach. If they were having a problem, it doesn't matter. Head coach is a rookie or 20 years. He should have addressed it. He should have said exactly what he said. I talked to John Dorsey this weekend. I talked to Alonzo Highsmith. And they are cutting out a lot of the things that bad organization and bad teams, all those rumors, being sources, taking information from the building, outsourcing it to other people, write about it, and don't attach your name. They are removing all those types of things. But I don't believe that Cleveland, it's hype. Because what I'm looking at, they're talented. I can go up and down their roster and tell you. Their offensive line finished football last year, second best, pro football focus. They got Kareem Hunt joining Chubb coming off a second year. They can run the ball. They can throw the ball. Their defense, I believe they have a pro bowler at every level. Their middle linebacker, I believe, is unsung. I believe people will start to know about him as we go through the season. So, this is a talented roster. They haven't won together, so maybe we should come up with another word. But when you're talented, to me, it's not about hype. When you have talent, Zion, how could he ever live up to the hype at Duke? Pretty talented. Did he not?
Yep.
Did he not? So for me, when you're talented, I think there's something else. Will they live up to their potential? I believe that they will.
Well, and we should really remind the audience, we're not expecting a 6-win jump. This team wasn't 4-12 last year. They were 7-8-1 with questions, with a change at quarterback, a change at head coach and offensive coordinator, all of that. 7 wins, 7-8-1, 3 losses on a field goal at the end of the game.
Yep.
if just those field goals go different, last year's team is 10-5-1 and wins the division. So we aren't the – sometimes there are teams, it's like, man, they added all this talent, they did all this – but the year before they went 3-13. It's like, okay, take a 5-win jump, you're 8-8. If the Browns win 3 more games than they did last year, they're in great shape, and they could have won 3 more games last year than they did last year. Like, so I don't think it's overselling it. Friends in Pittsburgh had me on the radio yesterday to talk about how could you like the Browns more than the Steelers? It's like, well, there was a 2-game separation in the standings last year. The Steelers objectively had more talent walk out the door than come in the door. The Browns objectively had a ton more talent walk in the door than go out the door. Like, it's not a big gap last year between them, the Ravens, and the Steelers.
Two teams last year, L.A. Rams. Did they live up to the hype?
Absolutely.
Kansas City, Patty Mahomes. Did they live up to the hype?
Exceeded it.
Oh, okay. It has a lot to do with talent.
Yep.
Except that you're not picking them to make the playoffs coming off a 7-win season. You're picking them to win the Super Bowl.
No, I'm not.
You don't think they're going to win the Super Bowl?
No. Oh, I'm picking them to win their division, which is how you make the playoffs.
I thought you were picking them to win the Super Bowl.
I haven't done a Super Bowl pick yet.
That would be bold. Super Bowls in a row.
That would be a bold pick by me. I think Chris might have mentioned
that. Take a break. What do Tom Brady's new contract details reveal about his future as a Patriot? That's ahead on First Things First.
Kansas City. You and I are picking New England.
We are, okay.
We got New England.
Okay.
He's going to have Kansas City in the AFC.
But you don't know yet.
Welcome back to First Things First. Former Pro Bowl linebacker Bart Scott is here. Hey,
what
Bart.
What up, man?
What it do?
How are you?
Great minds think alike.
Yes, sir. What? What happened?
He used my line. That's a great line.
He can do it, though.
That's your line?
That's my line.
What it do That's is your good. Line?
Your street cred just went up, Jen. Don't even worry about it.
Oh, God.
Wait till the next time she says it.
Yeah, she'll say whatever what she doesn't got. It happen?
That is not what's going to happen.
I mean to throw y'all off. My bad. My bad.
Making fun. I was crazy. Bart, let's change topics from greetings and
come on,
talk
get it patron. Right, Jenna.
Boom.
Let's do it.
Hey, it's Nick Wright, and hiring is challenging, but there's one place you can go where hiring is simple, fast, and smart, a place where growing businesses connect to qualified candidates. That place is, of course, ZipRecruiter.com/approach. ZipRecruiter sends your job to over 100 of the web's leading job boards, but they don't stop there. With their powerful matching technology, ZipRecruiter scans thousands of resumes to find people with the right experience and invites them to apply to your job. As applications come in, ZipRecruiter analyzes each one and spotlights the top candidates so you never miss a great match. And right now, Our listeners can try ZipRecruiter for free at this exclusive web address, ZipRecruiter.com/approach. That's ZipRecruiter.com/APPROACH. ZipRecruiter.com/approach. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
Your former teammate, Bart Scott, Ed Reed, was asked about facing off against Tom Brady and Bill Belichick over the years, said, quote, I loved those games going against the greats. Who else would you rather go against? That's high praise from one of their toughest foes. So, Bart, it leads us to ask this question. Who deserves more credit for the Patriots' success? Is it Tom Brady or is it Bill Belichick?
I mean, I have to tip my hat off to the structure that Bill Belichick has done. He seemingly always gets out of contracts before they go bad. He gets out of contracts a year early. You think about Seymour. You think about, Lawyer Malloy and some of those tough decisions that he's made. But I have to give the credit to Tom Brady because he's an unselfish superstar. In the world of getting yours, he makes sure that everybody else gets theirs too. We're talking about his new contract, and we'll get to that later. But one thing I do know that he's never wanted to take all the pie. Right, when you think about some of the quarterbacks that have made the most money, he's not amongst them. You think about Eli Manning, you think about Peyton Manning, he's always leaves enough cheese on the taco for everybody else. Yeah, and that allows them to be able to make moves throughout the year. And still, when you look at his productivity, and Bill Belichick's not throwing any passes, he's not taking any hits. And Tom has always been able to elevate the play of the players around him. He's never had other than Randy Moss, great receivers around him. He's had self-made guys that he's elevated their play. And he's their best offensive player. He's their best defensive player as well. So I have to give a credit to Tom Brady.
So I don't think it is disproportionate in one direction or the other. I don't think it's 90-10 or 80-20. But what I do think is they're in a situation where the sum is clearly greater than either individual part, meaning they've won 6 Super Bowls and been to 9 together. If Brady had his whole career with just call it a league average coach, I do think he's a Super Bowl champion. Maybe a couple of them, but nowhere close to 6. And if Belichick has his whole career with league average quarterback, just median level quarterback, I do think he's a good enough coach, especially defensively, good enough manipulator of the cap, that he could have won a Super Bowl. But 2 + 1 = 3, not 6. So I think together is what makes him special. But when I look at Brady, I say he and Jerry Rice, maybe, the only two that come to mind. Two guys that have had 2 separate Hall of Fame careers.
Yeah.
If he stopped in 2010, 3 championships, a league MVP, another trip to the Super Bowl, that gets you into the Hall of Fame. If he started in 2011, 3 championships, 2 more trips, 2 more league MVPs, that gets you in the Hall of Fame. So there's a Hall of Famer based on 2000, 2010, and a Hall of Famer from 2011 to 2019 right now. I also think Brady's willingness to be coached and non-superstar, non-diva stuff has such a important, in a positive way, pervasive effect on the locker room that if I have to give it, split the pie, I'd go 55-45 Brady. Now, I know Chris adamantly disagrees with both of us, but I just, the level of his ability to remake himself and to play for such an absurdly long period of time compared to anyone in NFL history, to me, tips the scales in his favor.
Well, I'm not surprised I disagree with you. It's not your fault. But this dude over here, after being in the NFL locker room, knowing the impact, because I'm going to go through. I'm in the Hall of Fame. I'm going to go through all the Hall of Fame coaches. Shula, let's go. Walsh, let's go. Belichick, and let's go Vince Lombardi. Vince Lombardi. Okay. Vince Lombardi. You can have any quarterback. Marino, Montana, Brady. You can have any quarterback. Which one would you take? Would you take the legendary coach, or would you take any of the quarterbacks? Just a quick answer.
I would take the quarterback.
The greatest quarterback. I got to take.
Okay, no problem. But what the quarterback doesn't have an effect on, he doesn't have an effect on scouting. He doesn't have an effect on how we're going to run business. He doesn't have an effect on the ball boy. Y'all think that Brady has an effect on the ball boys there? No. Who sets the tempo and the agenda is Bill Belichick. When free agents come there, they're not there to meet Tom Brady. They are there to see the Patriot way. Bill Parcells, good friend of mine, he won 2 Super Bowls. with average to above average quarterback. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it lets me know that Belichick cut from the same mode who runs a more aggressive offense or allows his offense to be run more aggressively. That's the reason why he's been on the transition through the last three decades successfully, is because he's adopting a philosophy, we're going to throw the ball. So to me, it's one-sided, and it's Belichick. I've been in the NFL locker room 16 years, and I know the impact the coaches. I tell more stories of Dennis Green and what he taught me than I do about Warren Moon, Reggie White, Randy Moss, or the other eight Hall of Famers that I played with. Institutional talent is far more valuable than athletic talent, and Tom Brady is the GOAT. But Bill Belichick, the standard that he sets, the tempo, the atmosphere, the air, when you go down the hallway there, he has set that. And that's the reason why it's lopsided for the coach, for the general manager in Bill Belichick.
But who empowers the coach? The best player there, because he has the humility to be coached. He has the humility to be coached, and he allows everybody else to be coached hard.
How did they win this last Super Bowl? Tell me.
Defense. Absolutely. There's no question about
how it. How'd they win the first two?
What? Defense. But how'd they win the middle two? Or, I mean, how'd they win the Falcons one?
No, but those are just the Super Bowl. So even if we split them, sure. I know the institution is created by this guy. Tom Brady's not. Tom Brady wanted more money. Tom Brady wasn't trying to leave more cheese on the taco. But he was trying to put double meat on there, and Belichick told him, you know something? You're going to get stuffed.
But you're
going to be a fool. But you don't know what you don't know.
But if he walked away, that team can't win a Super Bowl without Tom Brady. Without him, you can't just say input so-and-so and you have the same championship. Players come there because of Brady as well. Because they know they want to play with him, because they know they're going to have an opportunity. If you take Brady from the equation, and listen, this is all going to be proven.
Michael Bennett didn't go there to play for Tom Brady if Belichick wasn't coaching that defense. So, yeah, guys, go
that
there.
That defense ain't great, though. That defense not great. It plays a good system.
I'm willing to bet you a substantial amount of money they're a top five defense this year. And I guarantee they're a top five in points this year.
And why would they be a top defense? Because the opposing team's going to be trying to keep up with the offense that's lighting the scoreboard up. So he's their best offensive player and their best defensive player. Because if he's putting up the points, that means the other teams is going to be in their nickel package trying to put up points, trying to keep pace.
Tell me, out of all these great offenses, how many Super Bowls these great offenses have won?
Well, the 12 highest scoring teams in league history haven't won the Super Bowl. That's a good point.
Okay.
You need a complete team. But to your point that Parcells, a great coach, can win with average quarterbacking, totally agree. But we've seen great quarterbacks win with average coaching. We saw Steve Young win with George Seifert. We saw Peyton Manning win with Gary Kubiak.
Go to Dallas for a minute.
Yeah, those teams were stacked, though.
Absolutely.
Like, those teams were stacked. Okay, it wasn't like the New England team.
No,
yeah, but listen, Bill misses a lot. The general manager, Bill Belichick, misses a lot.
I mean, when you're making a bunch of decisions, of course you're going
to. And who makes up for the mistakes? Tom Brady, because you always got a chance.
Okay. I mean, Malcolm, you can believe what you want. I understand why you believe what you did. This fool over here, he's been in the NFL locker room, and Tom Brady played
with horrible quarterbacks.
Anyway, can I just say one thing? Today is Taco Tuesday. So if we
you know what I'm saying? Cheese on a taco.
There
you know what I'm saying?
So it all kind of comes full circle.
Tom, two tacos.
You was putting extra cheese on your taco. You wouldn't save no taco for nobody else to eat, Chris.
Taco Tuesday. Take a break.
I'm the one.
Much more First Things First right after this.
Well, I appreciate that. But listen, you ain't give me no sour cream.
Who's more important?
You ain't give me no sour cream. You just gave me some lettuce.
Here with Bart Stotts, we are going viral. Marlins prospect Eason Diaz making his MLB debut last night after going hitless in his first two plate appearances. Diaz stepped up in the sixth facing Jacob deGrom, and the Marlins broadcast went live with his dad. It's great. Check it out.
We managed to get to this point, so
yeah.
We're extremely happy for him.
Is this an emotional day for you?
Very, very emotional.
No!
you are a dad who grew up throwing the ball to your kid in the backyard and you cherish that, and then to see your kid hit a home run in the majors, I can't even imagine.
Project Wolverine is a failure right now. Jeter's killing that team.
Oh, come on. All right, that's fine. Side note.
It was a great moment.
I'm a Mets fan.
Ruining everything.
They took the L.
That was great, man.
That ball was still going. When it hit the stands there. Yep.
Well, you should have saw the one. You should have saw the one J.D. Davis hit after.
Oh my God! Shut up, Bart.
We get it. Watch the game.
Turn the channel. Keep talking like that, people are gonna turn the channel.
NFL now, where Bart's actually excited. Despite heartbreaking losses to end their last two seasons, the Saints are still tied with the Patriots and the Rams for the NFL's best record during that span. This year, a resilient Drew Brees will be playing his 19th season. Said, quote, "I think I have the ability to be as good as I have ever been." All right, Bart, how has Drew Brees been able to be so good at this age?
Yeah, I heard you guys talking earlier, and I had to totally agree with Chris for once. You know, I think it's because the rules of the game are so easy now that, you know, these guys are able to play at such an advanced age, and every time, every year, 300 guys are coming in. You have the 35% turnover rosters. Yep. They're seeing it for the first time. The fact that he's been able to be with Sean Payton and he's able to stay in the same system allows packages to grow. You know, I remember when I was in Baltimore, the fact that I was with Rex my whole career.
What does that mean to the packages grow?
Well, the packages grow. You come in and say, okay, we're going to do this out of three wides. And then, you know, if you dominate a year, you can always go back to some of that data, right? So you can say, this team's plan is like this, and you can go back to remember in 2008, okay, we can counter that with this. And everybody understands that. And it's that nonverbal communication that you have with your coach, understanding that, listen, I can't prepare you for every situation, but I can give you tools to your toolbox, and it's up to you to be able to know which one to pull out. Whether you're changing your hot route, whether you're flipping your formation, whether you're going and understanding, okay, well, this guy's going to be hot, I'm going to take a hit. Okay, I'm going to check to a fade on the backside. The fact that you've been together so long, and what happens is new players that come in, they get that information immediately because you know what they because Brees tells them what to expect and what he's thinking. So what happens is they can think through any situation, right? So the fact that they've been together for so long, the fact that they've improved this defense, and understanding that Drew Brees has limitations in his physical ability. He played great early in the season, but then he got that dead arm period where he really couldn't push the ball down the field. So now they know they're going to have to run the football more and kind of save him, put him on a pitch count. The load management is what, you know, new athletes do now. And win the game, you know, sloppy early on, knowing that they only need him to be special, you know, late in the game in certain situations, not carry them like he did early in his career.
Yeah, the league's always going through trends, and right now you've seen with Drew Brees and Sean Payton over the last couple of years, they've decided to be a lot more physical running the football.
Yeah.
Kamara, Ingram. Ingram's gone. They've gone to Latavius Murray, a free agent from Minnesota. He's supposed to come over to be able to share the load. Also, around NFL training camps and the Saints, teams are practicing more two tight end formation. So they're going to remove the fullback even more, place a tight end. So now you don't have a weakness. You don't have a strength. Is the strength to the right or the left? You are a balanced formation. You can be strength running to your left. You can be strength running to your right. Bart is right. They do have all this additional information. When a coach puts in a play, he puts in the coaching points at the bottom of the play. This play right here is not good against cover two. If they blitz you off the weak side, your number four receiver, he's got to go hot. So you know, you got an encyclopedia of information that the system is more fortified. And when you have continuity, Coach Mangini talks about it all the time. When you have guys who have played in the same system, the next year you can add to it. You can say, you know something, Bart? The Rams play the same defense we play, but their weak side linebacker, we put him in this position. We want to try to, and they show you these clips of these other teams doing it. You're like, oh, we'll add that to what we're doing. So these quarterbacks have more answers to the test. The game is easier for them. As I played, my year 7 through year 16, the game was easy. Some of the game was in slow motion because also that turnover. I'm playing against younger DBs. They didn't know my skill set. They didn't hadn't played against me. So you're able to take advantage of that freshness and of the turnover in the NFL. New personnel every year. And these coaches, these quarterbacks are carving these defenses apart.
And as far as Breeze is concerned, yeah, you got the mechanics there. The accuracy is there when once his arm strength comes back. The ability to really see the feed and see the field and take it all in. But, Nick, is this the best team that he's had around him since he's been in New Orleans?
I think it's the best team he's had since they won the Super Bowl. That Super Bowl team had a top five defense going along with the number one offense. When they were missing the playoffs 4 out of 5 years, they had a bottom two defense, 31st or 32nd ranked defense every year. Last couple years, it's moved back into the top 15. If that defense can move into the top 10, I think they're the favorites out of the NFC to go to the Super Bowl.
Here's the difference. What's the last smart defense that we've had in this league?
Smart defense?
Smart defense. Hey, listen, we've had defense with great talented players, but smart defense is defense that can fool quarterbacks. I would say
Baltimore.
Baltimore or the Seattle Seahawks was the last group of defensive players that we thought were intelligent that can really understand how to play the scheme and how to be played at
how to counter this veteran quarterback.
Exactly. It's a great quarterback.
All right, Bart, we'll see you a little bit later on the show. Got to take a break. Coming up, what should we expect from Cam Newton in his preseason debut this Thursday? That's next on First.
When was the last smart analyst we had sit over there?
right here.
It's been a minute.
Do I need to get that pencil?
Let me go get one.
Do I need to go get that pencil?
I think we got one waiting in the hall.
Sunday, an MLS doubleheader kicks off on FS1. First, legends collide as Wayne Rooney and DC United battles Zlatan Ibrahimovic and the LA Galaxy. Then LAFC clashes with the New York Red Bulls. It all starts 7:30 Eastern on FS1 and the Fox Sports app. We'll get to Cam Newton in a second, but first, Atlanta Entertainment Basketball League High School Class of 2020 shooting guard Jimmy Gatwich picking Quinn Cook's pockets before hitting the 360 under the legs dunk.
This kid, we saw him go under both legs a couple weeks ago in game. You pointed out, the ease with which he does this is unbelievable. I'm at a loss for words with Jimma. We're going to see him like Zion over the next couple years in these highlights repeatedly.
I wonder what they're going to do next.
All right, Cowboys practice. Never seen this before, check out Jason Witten reaching back to complete the one-handed grab.
Oh, come on, man. This is rude to Witten. Calling this, of all the things that happened in NFL training camps yesterday, this is the most remarkable thing, or it's just remarkable?
Man, he's out of bounds, man.
60-year-old man.
Because he's out of bounds. Watch the catcher. His right hand hits it, then his left, once he gathers it, watch his right foot. That's out of bounds.
Out of bounds. Correct.
I think he should go back and do some
TV. You know what that reminded me? Speaking of out of bounds, you owe me some money.
You guys take inbounds, out of bounds so seriously.
Our bet on Fitzy.
Finally, University of Wisconsin wideout Aaron Cruickshank with an OBJ-like one-handed catch of his own.
Okay,
Aaron. You like this one better?
Oh, this is nice right here.
Oh, that's a great catch.
Oh, no, he secures this one, takes it to the ground.
You know what he catches it with, C? Oh, no, he doesn't. I thought he caught the tip of the ball. He caught it on the side. One-handed, the way he gripped it. Watch. That's impressive.
So I like the way he's...
Let's go, Wisconsin.
Knotted the back of his shirt.
I think the Buckeye is going...
fitting.
The Buckeye is going to do something to the Badgers this year.
Thank you for listening to the First Things First podcast. Remember, leave us a review and tell us what you think. Subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts and catch us on FS1 Monday through Friday, 6:30 a.m. Eastern. For Chris Carter and Nick Wright, I'm Jenna Wolf. So long, everybody.
Hey, college football fans, Joel Klatt here. And over on my podcast, The Joel Klatt Show, we discuss the best teams, players, and storylines in all of college football. Any questions? Then send them in to the Joel Klatt Show mailbag, and I'll answer them. Tap the banner to follow The Joel Klatt Show on Spotify.